This is The Takeaway. Welcome back. Thanks so much for listening. You've started a conversation about jobs, listeners sharing stories of jobs. Mitt Romney has motivated a conversation about who's dependent upon the government and who does the work that needs to be done. We're all dependent on workers, perhaps more than we are about jobs. Here's a story from one of our listeners. I find that as a teacher, I have to often deal with bad behavior within the classroom, which keeps me from completing my curriculum. High school parents are usually not interested at all until their child gets into serious trouble. People do not recognize all that we have to deal with, and we are indebted with the education of this city's children. People dependent on education. Benjamin Britten wrote this music about the invisible jobs that made Britain run in the 20th century. Jobs that we don't think about much anymore. But we all think about our jobs. Here's Kelly from Miami, Florida. I'm a medical social worker. Medical facilities such as hospitals and nursing homes could not run without social services. But we are often the least funded department. Good luck getting paid if you have no one to fill out Medicare, Medicaid applications or plan a safe discharge. If all medical social workers disappeared, our healthcare system would be in a worse state than it already is. Who makes it all happen? Who makes the trains run? Who does the work that gets things done? The jobs we don't see, but the work we see, the consequences of that work we all live. Mitt Romney, as I said, describes 47% of Americans dependent on the government, but all of us depend on workers. And journalist Jean Marie Laskus attempts to shed some light on jobs and careers that we don't see quite so much as we perhaps should in her new book, Hidden America, From Coal Miners to Cowboys, An Extraordinary Exploration of the Unseen People Who Make This Country Work. And Jean Marie Laskus joins us now in the studio. Welcome.
Thank you.
There's so much of a lack of acknowledgement in our age of how stuff gets done. And part of that's a technological issue, but part of it is a matter of us collectively forgetting who it is out there that's lugging the hard tasks, making the tough things work for us.
Right. We talk about jobs in this, even in this political campaign right now, but it's such an abstract conversation. You know, it's jobs. We don't talk about that there are people attached to those jobs. It's interesting to me to get on a level of, okay, who are we talking about? Who are these migrant workers? Who are these coal miners? What are their lives even like?
And how did you go about selecting the careers, the jobs, the individual people within those careers to profile?
Well, I began it all in a coal mine in eastern Ohio, where a guy named Foote was explaining to me that every time we flip on a light switch, we burn a lump of coal. And I realized, wait a second, I never even knew that, first of all. I didn't even know that we really still had coal mines so much. And who is Foote? Who are these people? It got me interested in that question. How can I not know the people I'm so dependent on every single day for something as basic as electricity? How can I not know whose fingerprints are on the apple I eat? Who picked that thing? How can I not know? So I looked at daily life. I looked at the stuff of the individual moments of all of our lives, and wondered, okay, who did it? Who made this happen? Who landed my airplane yesterday?
And on the coal question, what was it that most surprised you about the life of Foote?
Oh, there was so much that didn't surprise me. First of all, I never knew a coal mine was white. That's ridiculous. I kept saying to him, wait a second. Is this just like you're painting this to make me feel better or something? And he said, no. As soon as we take the coal out, we have to throw rock dust on it so it doesn't explode afterwards. You can't leave that face exposed. So a coal mine is white. A coal mine is, the one I was in was only 5 feet high. So the people working down there are hunched over like ducks. They call it a duck walk all day for 10 hours each day. It's extremely difficult and dangerous work. Everybody there knew someone who had died in the coal mine.
And highly paid, putting kids through college, living the life outside of the mine. Okay, it's dangerous, but we're kind of swashbucklers by day or by night.
I would say they were well paid, maybe 70 grand a year at the end of the day, which for a lot of the folks there, what was so wonderful was because of that coal mine, they could hold on to their family farms. you can't make a living as a family farm in a family farm anymore. They wanted to. They didn't want to give up their cattle, but the only way to be able to afford that life was to spend your days in the coal mine.
For someone who cares a lot about my life when I'm flying, it does appear that collectively society doesn't care a lot about the air traffic controllers at LaGuardia that you profiled.
Well, here's the thing about air traffic controllers. It's like these other people I spoke with, they don't want to be famous. They don't want to be noticed because if they're noticed, it means they did something wrong. They don't mind being in the shadows. But make no mistake, it's because of them our airplanes are not crashing into each other and that they're landing and taking off safely. It's literally because of them on the other end of a radio.
Now, I can of course, imagine that. But what did you see in the course of the days inside the tracking facility there at LaGuardia that gave you an indication of just how high of a level you have to work to prevent disaster?
Okay, first of all, it's the tower, which has now just been replaced. The one that was there forever, it was such a dump. I mean, leaking ceilings, dump level, and not high tech. Analog, because they preferred being able to touch the gizmos that tell them what's going on.
Yeah, they don't want to see an error message.
They don't want to even push buttons. They want a tactile reminder. So it was this analog kind of like Scrabble tiles dashboard and the most intense focus I think you'd ever see. They compared themselves to heart surgeons. Except they said, they said, but you know what? A heart surgeon is saving how many lives per day? You know, maybe five. We're saving tens of thousands of lives every day. And they had that sense of heroism, rightly so.
And half of them are anesthetized by the flight attendants, possibly even on those flights. So before we go, was her name Sputter?
Sputter, yes.
Sputter, a truck driver who, as I was reading, I got the feeling you kind of envied her.
Oh, yes. Sputter's life, a long-haul trucker from Cleveland, Ohio.
On a particular night decided, the way to stay awake was to whip off her shirt.
Yeah, she needed to be awake at 3 a.m., so she took off her shirt and let the air blow. And then she turned the cab lights on so the other truckers could see, as a way of a neighborly thing, wake them up too. They needed to wake up too. For her, it was a great fun to be out on the road, an adventure in a long-haul truck.
Before we go, with all this talk about jobs in the campaign, what does this book teach us?
What this book, stories have a life of their own, but what the book sum total for me is it brings me into the world in a way I hadn't before. It's challenged my inner spoiled brat. We expect light. We expect food on our table. We expect everything to work. And if it doesn't, we feel sort of outright as if it's outrage, as if it's a right. And I think this book has said, wait a second, no, this stuff is a privilege. Mm. And these privileges are built on the backs of these Americans.
And perhaps these Americans are the job creators. They create the jobs and do the jobs, even though they're not necessarily writing their own paychecks. Jean Marie Laskus, author of Hidden America, From Coal Miners to Cowboys, An Extraordinary Exploration of the Unseen People Who Make This Country Work. Thanks so much.
Thank you.